Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Then in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, thank you for the unction to preach tonight, Father. Thank you for each one who has made the choice to come and sit under the preaching of your word, Lord. Bless them. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done here. Thank you for our school and the labors of all those involved with our school here, and bless those kids and put a hedge about them, put a hedge about this church, about the school, and about the ministries here. We lift up the RU ministry to you, Lord, with Brother Greg and Brother Hines, Sister Ida, and all those involved in that. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all you're doing here. Hold me up tonight by the power of your might, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice here in our text, it talks about the simplicity of Christ and the clarity and simplicity of the gospel. Are they still laughing because I said Sister Hines? I knew as soon as I said it, I was going to... Well, maybe there is a Sister Hines somewhere. All right, there might be, not here, everywhere but here. But notice, Paul said that his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power of God. And our text in Proverbs said that the words of God are plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. The Lord made the gospel so plain and so simple that a child can understand it. The Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know, when a child comes to Christ, they don't understand everything. A lot of folks say, well, I've got to really get this thing figured out before I come to Christ. No, you don't. You just got to know that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is a Savior, and from the heart step out by faith and trust him, and he'll give you what you need to know. Of course, the Bible does say to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But when it comes to salvation, two elements. The fact that you have a need as a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a big complicated rigmarole that of religion and sacraments and commandments and all kinds of do this and do that, touch not, taste not, handle not. That's not the gospel. The disciples asked the Lord one day over in John 6:28, said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him that he hath sent. My, that's awful simple, isn't it? Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. You want to go to heaven? You trust Jesus Christ. The plain truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, how that which by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You believe that? Have you embraced it? Have you appropriated? Have you received that in your behalf? Have you appropriated his death on the cross? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So there has to be a death to pay for your sins. It can be you. You can pay for it yourself. Or you can appropriate his payment in your place. Wow. I liked that idea as a boy. I didn't want to have to pay for my sins. That's the gospel. And a man gets to heaven by embracing, receiving the gospel. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And Mark 1:15, the Lord said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Do you believe that? Hey, it isn't that man don't understand it. It's that they refuse to receive it. Words of God are plain. It's my understanding about 70% of this old King James Bible are one-syllable words. Not difficult to understand. Will Rogers once said it's not what he didn't understand about the Bible that caused him trouble, it's what he did understand that caused him problems. Not only are they plain to him that understandeth, but the Bible says that the words of God are pure. They're plain and they're pure. The psalmist said in Psalms 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God promises, made the promise that he would preserve his words to every generation. You say, well, I don't understand the original Greek and Hebrew. Then more souls have been saved out of this old King James Bible than all the other new versions put together. All of them put together does not equal all the souls saved. So that, in my mind, the Holy Spirit has put a seal of approval on that book. Psalms 119:140, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Hey, whenever a man starts messing with that pure word of God, God will start messing with that man. Every word of God is pure, it says in Proverbs 35. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The word should be plain to us this evening. And a lot of times we just don't understand what is. What plain is. His word is plain, his word is pure, and his words are penetrating. Says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, one reason I think that the Bible-based addictions programs are so effective is because there's a spirit in that book. The Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I remember we'd get folks, court-ordered folks, coming into our program, not because they wanted to be there, but they had to do a program because of the court. So they're sitting there. They're not expecting to gain anything except mark that little checkbox for their court mandate. But you know what happens sometimes? That spirit of God that's in that word of God that's preached will get a hold of a man or a woman or a child and will move in and penetrate. Sometimes when a person is least expecting it. It's a preaching of that word that penetrates a wicked heart of a man and gives that Holy Ghost conviction that he's a sinner. Lost. Undone. That word of God does that. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A fellow will realize at a point that he's lost and he's undone, without hope and without hope, without a clue. Without a clue until he hears the word of God. Pure words of God get next to his sinful condition. I've been teaching on the Ten Commandments, teaching and preaching on them because they reveal the holiness of God, and they let a man know where God's position is, where God is. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And that becomes a schoolmaster to a lost person to show him that in relationship to God's holiness that he is not. And he has a need. And it helps to bring conviction. The Bible says the word of God is pure, converting the soul. The Bible says, for the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So then faith, it says, Paul said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The words of God will penetrate the heart of the most vile sinner. There's nobody outside of the reach of God if that man will do anything to come to try to draw nigh unto God. God says, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. I wonder how many people on their deathbed have just realized that they're going to face judgment and seek God at the last moment. I remember one afternoon at Margaret Mary Hospital in the ICU, a fellow's dying. He's an old biker. I'd witnessed to his family, led several of his family members to the Lord, and he's got an oxygen mask over his face, and he could barely whisper. And I went through the gospel with him, and he prayed the sinner's prayer with barely a whisper. Ask God, Jesus Christ, to forgive him, save him. My. Say, well, I don't know if that got him to heaven or not. Well, what's the Bible says? How about that thief on the cross? He never did anything. He never did anything right except trust Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He never did any good works at all. Wasn't baptized. But the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. David said he brought in Psalms 42 and verse 2, 40 and verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. If God can save me, he can save you. If that word of God convict the regional vice president of the Outlaws motorcycle gang and make a preacher out of him, he can save you. David Spurgeon, what a testimony he had. Sitting in jail at Columbus, Ohio, facing several federal charges, drug charges, gang-related charges. Enforcer for the Outlaws motorcycle gang in Dayton, Ohio. Tom Gresham, assistant pastor to Greg Estep, their Charity Baptist Church, went to the jail that night and talked with him, and that Spirit of God got a hold of that old rascal and saved his soul, and he's been an evangelist now for 28 or 29 years. Wow, that's incredible. He can reach you if you'll just let him in. Just got to let him in. That Word of God one day penetrated the heart of a man living in a gypsy tent. Gypsy Smith saved that man, made him one of the premier evangelists of his day. Remember Mark Cameron. He was the dean of students at Tennessee Temple University. And Mark Cameron I asked Mark Cameron, I was taking him to the airport one day from Lawrenceburg. He preached at Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp. And I asked him who the best preacher he ever heard. He said, Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith, just an old, isn't that something? That's how God works. I heard a black preacher say once that God don't work from the top down, he works from the bottom up. I believe that. Word of God penetrated the heart of a shoe salesman in Chicago many years ago. He turned D.L. Moody into a great soul winner and an evangelist. Shoe salesman. Word of God, one night penetrated the heart of a baseball player, a second baseman for the Chicago White Sox. He was considered the fastest man in baseball. And one night he and his buddies were downtown drinking in Chicago. And as they're getting close to the Pacific Garden Mission, I think it's on Van Buren Street in Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission choir was singing, "Where is my wandering boy tonight?" That night, Billy Sunday got saved, and I don't know how many countless thousands that he led to the Lord with his plain evangelism. Billy Sunday, what a story on him. Said when he heard that choir singing, it brought his mind back to his little cabin. He grew up in a little cabin in Ames, Iowa, and his daddy died, and his mama couldn't support him and his brother, and they had to send him to the seamen and sailors' children's home. What a story. And Billy Sunday. Two on the road to the Emmaus one night, heard the plain, pure, penetrating words of Jesus Christ. And Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" And while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, not only are the words of God plain and pure and penetrating, but they're also they're precise. They'll put you right on the money. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus said to them in John 14:6, "I am the way." I am the way, the truth. He didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 14:6, Jesus saith, when the Lord said that, he made it clear that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Not many ways, but one way, the only way, the living way. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's at the name of Jesus that every head shall bow, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The words of God are precise in declaring Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Not Confucius, not Mohammed, not Brer Rabbit. Just one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, Zoroaster, or some of that crowd, or the host of any of the game shows. That Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Not Elvis, not the Pope, not the Queen Mother. The words of God are plain, they're pure, they're penetrating, they're precise. And declaring one man, the man Christ Jesus, all man and all God, as the only way to save your soul, my soul, from hell. My. Apostle Paul said this. He said that verse that I quoted, that at the name of Jesus, that's the name that's above every name. What's in a name? Jesus speaking in John 8:28 said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." You can meditate on it till the cows come home. You can meditate. The Bible says, "Not by the will of man nor the will of the flesh." You can't meditate your way into heaven. You'll die in your sins. You can say your Hail Marys or hail a Uber or a taxi, whatever you want to hail, but that won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. You can be an Eagle Scout, you can be a 33rd degree Mason or the Lion of the Year, and you can still die in your sins. Lodge can't save you. You can be Miss America, Mr. Basketball, you can be Mr. Head, and you can still die in your sins. Still takes Jesus Christ to save you. My, my, my. And be the Duchess of York, the King of England, the Duke of Paducah. Anybody remember him, the country guy? Duke of Paducah. Still dying your sins. The words of God are plain. It's plain and simple. Words of God are pure. They're penetrating. They're precise in declaring the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing complicated about the gospel. Now, man and religion has a tendency to complicate it. Usually when a religionist starts complicating the gospel, most of the time there's a buck involved. There's a dollar bill attached to it somewhere along the line when they start complicating the simplicity of Christ. And this is the record. It says in 1 John 5:11 that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That's a tough one for a lot of people. You know, many today are offended at the name of Jesus. Who was it? I just read recently the wife, was it one of the Navy SEALs involved in something, and on a national TV show, and they talked about their faith and thanking Jesus Christ. And they edited the name of Jesus Christ out of the show because they thought it might be offensive to some people. Remember when the Lord went to the cross and said, many this day will be offended at me. Peter said, oh, not Peter said, not me. Oh, all men deny him. He said, I'll stick with you, Lord. Denied him three times. Lord forgave him. Remember when the Lord came out of the tomb? He says, go tell the disciples and tell Peter. Forgave him. My, my, my. He that says in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can have religion without having Jesus Christ. You can join every church in the county. You can walk down the aisle and say, I want to join this church. You can do all that, those religious things without ever knowing Jesus Christ. He said, those Pharisees said, haven't we done many mighty works in thy name? And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You have to know him. It has to be by him, through him. I remember doing the study, I love prepositions. I do a message on precious prepositions where it says, he that believeth, believe in Jesus Christ. And you look up that word in, that preposition in, it means by way of or through. It's by way of Jesus Christ. Through him. Then another place said, believe on Jesus Christ. That means to rest for support. Dependence, trust. I talked about that verse the other night. But I like of. The word of. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It don't say faith in there. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the Lord's faithfulness that I walk in and live in. He was faithful. He was faithful. Where I fail, he's faithful. So I rest in him. I walk in him. I breathe, and my thinking should be in him, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The words of God are plain. They're pure. They're penetrating and precise. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's the Savior. There's none else beside him. Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, I've heard a lot of those country preachers over the years. Some of the country preachers I've listened to, they didn't know a lot of doctrine. They weren't real smart about the doctrinal aspects of that book. But boy, they could preach up a storm, and they loved the Lord, and they preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and they were winning folks to Christ and winning folks to Christ. Our message ultimately should be Jesus saves. I've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That's our message. That's the message of the church to the world. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. He offers forgiveness and a changed life. That gospel will knock the whiskers off a drunkard's face. It'll send a harlot back to her husband. It'll send a drug addict back to her children. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that's the name that is above every name. I'm done. If everyone would stand up tonight.